Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. I preached last week on the present Jesus. Today I want to preach on the praying Jesus. The praying Jesus. You say, well, does Jesus need to pray? Isn't he God? Yes, he is. In his deity, no, he really doesn't need to pray. But in his humanity, he taught us the necessity of going to God in prayer, going to his Father in prayer. So yes, Jesus prayed, and he fulfills the Old Testament office of priesthood, where that the priest stood between man and God to carry up petitions to God and prayers to God, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament priesthood. Amen. And so he is prophet, priest, and king, Jesus is. And so he's the high priest, the one mediator, one go-between between God and man, Jesus Christ. So yes, Jesus prayed and taught us to pray. Praise God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would empower your servant, God, to speak the truth of your word. And I pray, Lord, that your people, Lord, all of us, God, would hear what you have, what the Spirit is saying to the church. I pray that everyone would be encouraged, Lord, to call upon your name and pray. And Lord, I pray that we'd just be a praying church. God, when you come again, we want to be found a praying people. May your name be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that Jesus fulfilled the perfect righteousness of the law. He's the only one that ever did. And he fulfilled everything that the law, Old Testament law, law of Moses required, the law that God gave to Moses. And so he is the high priest, and he stands between God and man today. There's not many priests that stand between God and man. There's only one that God recognizes today, that's his son. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And so we do have a praying Jesus. Amen. And the greatest thing we can do with starting a new year is to have God in prayer as our priority. You know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whatever things you're worried about today, I can tell you, if it'll be taken care of if you just seek God first. God may not give you what you want, but God will give you what you need. And many times there's a huge difference between what we want and what we need. But God knows what we need, because he discerns the thought, very thought, and the intent of the heart. Amen. And I believe that prayer is one of the most neglected disciplines in the believer's life. Books on prayer are good. Talking about prayer is good. Sermons on prayer are good, but not good enough. You have to pray. And Jesus said here, when you pray, not if you pray. Man, he didn't make it optional. He said, when you pray. Amen. And Jesus' disciples, no doubt, they were amazed at the miracles that Jesus did, everything that he did, the healing the sick, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the crippled walked. He saw those things. He says he saw dead people raised again up to life. Amen. Jesus one time interrupted a funeral procession, and a woman was there. It was her only son, and God healed that boy, put him back in, and brought him back to life, and gave him to his mother. Praise the Lord. And so God can do, but Jesus, the disciples saw Jesus had a constant habit of doing one thing. Jesus continually communed and fellowshiped with his Father in heaven. Jesus prayed. And they come to the point in time, the disciples didn't ask him, say, Jesus, teach us how to heal the sick, or teach us how to make the lame walk again, or teach us how to take offerings, or teach us how to tell the threatened old people that their Social Security check belongs to you. Some of them do that. But they said, Jesus, would you just teach us to pray? We've noticed that you call on your Father continually. Teach us to pray. I think it's a good teaching for any generation, every generation. And we look at the society today with a split country, with people addicted to so many sinful things, with people who do not know the difference between right and wrong. The society didn't know the difference between male and female. With family values being under demonic attack, shouldn't we be saying, Lord, teach us to pray? Amen. And the disciples here, they observed his habit of prayer continually, his communication with his Father. And they were amazed at Jesus' works. Not only Jesus, not only the works that were here, but the Pharisees and scribes, they were jealous of Jesus because he taught as one priest, as one having authority. Amen. Authority. Authority is a wonderful thing if it's used right. And Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. My friend, we can count on it. God has authority over any troubling thing in your life and my life. Praise the Lord. You may not see the results that you want to see immediately or instantly, but I want to tell you God has authority over it. And I believe that eventually within time, God will show that authority is more powerful. Hallelujah. And he still, you know, it may be an old thing, but I'll tell you something, friend, it's still the truth of God's word. God still has authority over every cancer cell that tries to jump around in your body. God still has authority over all sickness and disease, over every heart problem, over all every problem with veins and arteries that carry blood to your body. He still has authority over that. Amen. And facing another year, shouldn't we call on the one and pray to the one who has authority? We do not and cannot know what we will face this coming year. We're seeing the decay of our nation, a decay of a nation once built upon God and his word. And now they want to send you to jail if you speak his word in the public anywhere. But we have a nation today that's backslidden, much of it. But let me tell you something, there's a strong remnant of God's people still in the United States of America. There are many believers gathered today that are worshiping and praising God, and our believers are not ashamed of what they believe. Thank God for that. But we say in our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. My friend, let's remain one nation under God. We must. This may be the year that Jesus comes. We do not know, but if it is, if Jesus comes back this year, let's let him find a praying church. Hallelujah. Because we serve a praying Savior, praying Jesus. Amen. And Jesus begins his what is known as the Lord's Prayer here. And I think it's a good example to go by. I just have a feeling that Jesus knew how to pray. And so he wanted to teach us. And so Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. He said, begin with saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And let's look at the word Father there for just a moment. And before we do that, at least, first of all, Jesus told him how not to pray. In verses 5 through 7, you'll find 5 through 8, you'll find there, he said, you don't be like the hypocrites that Jesus want to be seen as a person of prayer, and so you pray out where people can see you. That does not mean you should never pray in public. I thank God we can pray in public. And I thank God that we're not trying to be heard, not trying to put on a show, but if somebody asks me in the grocery store that they need prayer and they're desperate with God, I'm going to pray for them right then. Because generally what happens, we'll say, well, we'll pray for you, and then you go off and don't remember to pray for them at all. Amen. Now, that's just my take on it, so maybe you don't forget. Maybe you're just so young and bright you don't forget. Amen. But Jesus said here, don't pray like the hypocrites do because they want to be seen. He said their reward is they got seen. But he said, when you pray, go into your room when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who receives in secret will reward you. Some translations add openly, mine does. And he says, don't pray like this. Don't use vain repetitions because you think God will be hear you for your much many words. Amen. And God is not impressed with an unending chatter of words. But words that are from the heart. God, I need you. Right to the repentant publican and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God heard that man's prayer. Amen. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows what things you need before you ask him. In this matter, therefore, pray, Father. Pray like this, Jesus said. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is our Father by spiritual birth. Amen. You are not redeemed by corruptible things, but by incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. In the book of Romans, it tells us what a child is, a child of God is. Amen. He tells us there that we become children of God by new birth. Praise the Lord. And so we know that our God is our Father by spiritual birth. And God our Father is creator and the great parent of all. Amen. And saying, praying to God as Father, it speaks of relationship. Amen. That you have a relationship with God, and therefore we pray to God. I remember my earthly father. Thank God he's in heaven now. It's not that I was ready to get rid of him. I thank God for him. I miss his prayers. He's a praying man. He wasn't a preacher, but he's a praying man. But his example to me was, and he didn't try to make it an example, it's just who he was. He would wake up in the morning, first thing he'd do is read his Bible, and then he'd get on his knees and pray to the point where he didn't whisper prayer. He didn't pray silent prayers. He may have, but he didn't in the morning because it woke me up and told me it's time to go to school. But he set an example for me without even knowing he was doing it of beginning my day with God. And I don't want to begin any day without God. So he has set an example. But I realize today that we live in, many people have had an abusive, immoral, or a father that was unkind to his wife and kids. And it's sad what has happened to the American family today. However, our Heavenly Father is still a caring Father. Our Heavenly Father is still a providing Father. Our Heavenly Father is still a protecting Father. Our Heavenly Father is still a faithful Father, and he's still an everlasting Father. Amen. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. Not only is he Father in heaven, but Jesus says here, hallow that name. Hallow would be thy name. To hallow something means to regard as holy, to respect, or to revere God. Amen. And you don't just go up to say, hey, Pop, how's it going? No, you may do that to your earthly father. But let me tell you something. God is perfectly and purely holy. He's to be feared, not in the sense of being scared of, but he's to be reverenced and respected when we go to God in prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. And we worship God in prayer that we let nothing take God's place in our life. Amen. Do you express your love to him with your thanksgiving, with your providing, for providing such wonderful plan of redemption for you and I? You say, well, can you get off the cross thing? No, I can't. It was there, and because of the cross, amen, because of what Jesus did there, not the wood itself, but the fact that he paid with the death penalty for our sins, amen. If he didn't do that, there's no use in preaching the rest of the Bible. I mean, you can't be, but you can be encouraged knowing that our sins are paid for. Jesus was judged on the cross in our place. He took our sins and sorrows and made them his very own. He bore our burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone because he loved you and me. Praise the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. To hallow also refers to the withdrawal from fellowship with the sinful side of the world and its selfishness by gaining fellowship with God. The writer of 1 John said that do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world of things of the world, the will of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if you take those three things, you go back to the Garden of Eden, those are fulfilled in God, and Satan's tempting Adam and Eve. Flesh, the world, and the devil. So that's all mankind has to offer, so we need God. But you see, worship God. Hallowed be thy name. All worship, singing, and praise belongs to him. Hallowed be thy name. And God's name deals with his character. And there are numerous expressions of God's name throughout Scripture. There are 14 Jehovah names. And so I'll let you off easy this morning. We're not going to preach a 14-point sermon on it, because there's 14 sermons on each one of his names. But hallowed be thy name. Let me give you a few of them here. He was made known to Moses as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And God promised, Moses said, I'm not going to put any of the diseases of the Egyptians on you, Moses. So that's who God is. He is Jehovah Shalom, meaning the Lord is our peace. Amen. It didn't come from anywhere else. It comes from God. Amen. Our peace is what he gives. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And we don't have any anywhere else. And you say, well, I'm a pretty good old boy or a pretty good gal. And everything, you can make all of that you want to, but not good enough for heaven until God makes you good enough for heaven. Unless we take on the righteousness of Christ by faith, and that's the only way we can take it on, then we're not acceptable or fit for heaven. But the moment you say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're my righteousness. I believe you lived a perfect sinless life, and I ask you to come for my sins, come into my heart, then you're made heaven ready at that point. Praise God. You can shout, you can rejoice, you can know that God has paved the way, made the way for you. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Makedesh Kim, the Lord our sanctifier. You don't hear that preached on very much because nobody wants to be sanctified too much. Truth is, most people are not sanctified enough. We need the sanctifying work of God's Spirit, continual sanctification. And last, he is Jehovah Shammah, meaning the Lord is present. Preached on the present Jesus last week, but God is still present. That's what his name means. You can find that name once in the last verse of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 48. It means the Lord is present. The Lord is there. And so Jesus moves on. Hallowed be thy name. And then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is where we ask Jesus to be king of our thoughts, words, deeds, decisions we make every day. Wouldn't it be a great thing if we would just say, God, I want you just to be Lord. I want you to be king, rule over my thoughts, my will, my emotions, and the decisions I make today. If we would do that, friend, it would be wonderful. Praise God. And so we need to have God in our daily life continually. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And when it says to meditate on the words of God, he's not talking about some meditation based on mysticism, but meditation on the scriptures and the truth of God's word. My friend, if we'll think and meditate on the truth, then we won't be led off into error as much of the world is. When Messiah himself appeared, it was a visible kingdom at hand. Amen. And so Jesus walked upon this earth as king. Amen. The world didn't accept him as king. As a matter of fact, they crucified him. But he had all authority over sickness, disease, demons, wind, waves, all natural elements. He had authority over all things. But the king came to save, deliver from sinful addictions. And you say, well, there's not very, very many people that are addicted to anything. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen a lot of people addicted to a lot of things. And many people are addicted and don't even know it. Let me give you a few statistics here. Over 11% of Americans have driven under the influence. Out of 16.6 million people with alcoholism, 2.6 million were also dependent on an illicit substance. It is estimated that over 95% of those who need treatment for alcoholism do not feel that they need treatment. Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? More people receive treatment for alcohol than any other substance. 100 people die every day from drug overdoses. That's right here in our country. And this rate has tripled in the last 20 years. 2.6 million people with addictions have dependence on both alcohol and illicit drugs. Rates of illicit drug use is highest among those aged from ages 18 to 25. You think the devil's not working on the generation coming up, trying to destroy it? He is. Over 90% of those with an addiction begin drinking, smoking, or use illicit drugs before the age of 18. I want to tell you, the devil works on the youth before their mind is fully developed, and so that when their mind is fully developed, they can't use it. I know we could go off on that and say there's a lot of people that fit that category, but God gave us a brain to use. We can see what it does, and all of these things are warned of in Scripture. We're warned not to partake of things that control the mind. And so alcohol does, drugs do, everything, you know, that controls the mind to make people do things that they wouldn't normally do if they were in their right mind. And it's sad, but many believers fall into this category and are addicted to something they can't let go of. They need deliverance. So without question, the church must become a people of the altar. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. In his death, showed Jesus to be king over sin and death. He that liveth and was dead, behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus was mocked by the Jews, by the Romans, by Gentiles, and they placed a sign over Jesus' cross saying, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." There he was, cut, bleeding, and dying with a crown of thorns on his head. And that was Rome saying, if you try to be any authority against Roman Empire, this is what's going to happen to you, because crucifixion was dealt with and done in a public place so that everybody could see what's going to happen to you if you live a life of criminal activity against Rome. And Jesus, we know that he didn't do anything. He was not a criminal. He was crucified as one, but he was not a criminal. And that sign was a sign of mockery to anyone who would challenge Roman authority. But Christ's resurrection and ascension to heaven showed he accomplished his mission on earth to provide redemption for sinful mankind. And Jesus one day will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when Jesus comes that second time, there's not going to be anybody mocking him. There's not going to be people that have awful sayings about him. There's not going to be a cross where something ungodly or unkind is written above it. There's not going to be any insulting words this time. They will be crying out for his return. They will be even saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." They'll look upon him whom they pierced, and they'll cry for him, mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. I want to tell you something, friend. This same Jesus that we're talking about shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. He's going to come again, set his foot on the Mount of Olives. Praise God, he's going to defeat the armies of the Antichrist. He's going to come with power and great glory. Amen. They're not going to mock him. They're not going to do anything to my Lord and Savior again. He will rule as King of Kings. Hallelujah. My kingdom come. And even the disciples were looking for the king to return in their day. You get by the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. You find there three times. It says, "Jesus, come, even so, come, Lord Jesus," or "come quickly." Praise the Lord. Thy kingdom come, and this, look at this, thy will be done. And so we want the will of God to be done in our words, in our behavior, in conversing with others. And pray that you will walk fulfilling God's purpose for you in this life. And I can tell you, friend, worship is the will of God. Amen. To take time out of a day and say, "I'm going to give this to you, Lord. I'm going to worship you today. I'm going to lay aside all my excuses. I'm going to come and worship you." Man, somebody even wrote a song, a Southern gospel song called "Excuses." The Kingsmen, I believe. But anyway, I'll play it for you someday. But there's no excuse thy will be done. Jesus prayed the Father's will when he's about to suffer for our sins. He said, Father, if you can let this cup pass from me, please do so, but not my will, but thine be done. This was a cup of suffering that he must partake of, or else there would be no hope for anyone in all the world to be saved, including you and I. And so he prayed for the Father's will when he was about to go to the cross, and he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. And let's just look at it for a moment. Heaven is God's perfect will. Heaven is completely holy and completely pure, and it's without sin, and there's not a trace of sin or rebellion in God's heaven. And so you and I need to pray for God's will nationally, for America, for its leaders. Pray for your president every day. Amen. Pray for your Congress every day, whether you agree with them or not. Amen. I know some of them you want to pray, God, you know. Thank God for grace, favor. The Bible does tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And God hadn't lost interest in the Jewish people or Jerusalem. Man, that's where he'll rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years. In Psalms 122 it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, prosperity within thy palaces. It's a blessing to pray for Israel. That's the nation that God brought his son through to provide the freedom and the redemption that we have today. Praise God. And so we just need to be a people that will press in and worship God. You know, I've noticed when people really begin to press into God and they forget about each other and said, I just need to get something. I need something from God today. And they begin to press into God, begin to worship God in the spirit and in truth, and don't try to impress anybody else. Amen. You're not worried about what somebody else is thinking. That's when God begins to move and touch people's life. I'll tell you, friend, it's always an order here. If you have a need in your life to come up front, it doesn't mean you're weaker than everybody else. It means you're calling out to God for you need help. I can tell you, friend, we need God's help today. Hallelujah. Why did we come to church today? Did we come here just so we could see who's here? Is it so we could wear what we wear? No, we come here to meet God. Hallelujah. And we come here to come into contact with God. Let's press into God. Let's believe God to touch our lives, minister to us. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks, what anybody judges you. It matters what you, it's between you and God. Praise the Lord. So let's be a people of prayer. Be a people of strong in their witness for God. Let's be a church filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's not just a good idea, it's the will of God for you to pick out a missionary and pray for a missionary every day. Praise God. We got 30 of them on the board. I don't know who to pray. Yeah, I pray for those. You don't know who to pray for? Ask me. Praise God, I'll tell you. It's people that need God. Amen. So let's be a people of the altar, people of prayer. Lord willing, tonight my voice holds up and I don't cough myself silly, I'll finish the rest of the sermon tonight. Praise God.